We went there Sunday morning, and I want to go back there tonight, Psalm 37, and we talked about how you can claim some precious promises in your life in Psalm 37, and I want to look at one more tonight. Before I do that, just to remind you, I want to notice the first promise in Psalm 37 that we looked at that you can claim. And that is, it says in verse 2, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. And we said that there are those wicked people that stand up to God and go against him and brazenly fight against him. And many times they get away with it. And there is a promise here that God will cut down those in your life that are hindering you from fulfilling God's mission for your life. And we said that we saw that in Jesus' case. The Bible said that he had to curse the fig tree, and overnight the fig tree withered up. I have had to do that with things and people in my life that have hindered God's mission, and I have seen God come through and do that. And I want you to notice in Psalm 37, verse 35 and 36, we already looked at this, but it says, I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet, notice that he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. That's God's promise to us. And you see, you don't get that promise by focusing on how great and wicked people are, and how great and wicked Satan is, and how great and wicked the cabal is that are against us. You focus on God. The Bible says, if God be for us, who could be against us? You say, well, we got a wicked world that's against us. We see a conspiracy of evil. Amen. But if God be for us, who could be against us? You see, that's the whole emphasis here. And so Jesus cursed the fig tree. It withered up overnight. You say, well, I've cursed the fig tree. It didn't wither up overnight. Well, remember, the fig tree represented something. It represented the scribes, the Pharisees, and the hypocrites that ran the religious organization that crucified Jesus. When he cursed that physical fig tree, he was also cursing that nation to judgment. And I want to remind you that about 41 years later, I went there in 2016. He done did it. The stones of that temple are gone, and the foundation is ripped apart, and huge rocks still there. I got one of them from Rome. Still there. Jesus did that. I have seen it in my life. You have to wait around a while. But I'm just simply saying to you that God is able to remove mountains of wickedness. God is able. And you can claim that promise in the Word of God. Secondly, I want you to notice, it says there's another promise that you can claim when you focus on God. You can curse the fig tree. The second promise is that you could feed on his faithfulness. Look at verse 3. Psalm 37, it says, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt feed in his faithfulness. Now, how do you dwell in the land? What's the land for us? It's not the promised land of Israel. That's for the Jews. And God still has that for them. The land for you and I is the will of God for your life. The will of God for your life. And you trust in the Lord. That is, you take in God's strength and his grace to do his will, because we can't do his will without him. Amen? We need him. And it's only one day at a time. That's how I live my life, one day at a time. Hey, I'm here today. I'm in the will of God. I'm trusting the Lord today. I'm receiving his grace. And guess what? I'm also doing good. You say, how? I'm preaching to you. That's something he wants me to do. And that's doing good. And as I'm doing that, I've been 40-some years, I can't even count, that many years in the land or in the promises of God for my life, and God keeps blessing that. And I'm just saying to you, you can claim the promise to dwell in the land, and you say, well, what happens when you trust in the Lord, you do good, and that's a prerequisite. Remember, we're talking about claiming promises. You got to do the prerequisite. Trust in the Lord, number one, do good, dwell in his will for your life, and what will you do? You'll feed on his faithfulness. What's that? You'll receive all kind of blessings. It takes time to receive all those blessings, but you will. You'll surely receive them. And it'll be great. And so your thing is focus on the prerequisite, trusting the Lord day by day for the grace to do his will. And then take the grace he gives you and do good to others. Help others. It's all about others. Jesus others you. That's what joy is. Jesus others you. And so you're going to feed on his faithfulness. You're going to be able to curse the fig trees of those and cast the mountains down that stand in your way from doing the work of God and the will of God. And then there's one more we looked at. And notice what that is. Number three is you can have the desires of your heart. Notice what it says in verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You know what? We've been having prayer meetings on Monday night for the desire of our heart. But you know what? We've been enjoying our fellowship more doing that. In other words, you can get the desire of your heart because you begin to enjoy God. You begin to enjoy the will of God. And that's why the Lord said, don't just trust me. Don't just serve me. Don't just do my will. Enjoy me. Because he's saying the prerequisite to get the desires of your heart is to delight in the Lord, to enjoy him. And you can enjoy his will. If you focus on him, and it's not just, I got to do this, I got to do this goal, and then it becomes a burden to you. And if it's a burden to you to go to church, if it's a burden to you to go sowing, if it's a burden to you to serve the Lord, beware. You're not getting it as he wants you to get it. He said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And you'll begin to enjoy the will of God because you enjoy fellowship with the Lord. And you begin to enjoy God's people. You begin to love his word. You love his work. You love his people. You begin to love his will because you love and enjoy him. And so when you do that, then you get the desires of your heart. And God does that work in your heart. And so that prerequisite leads to the promise. Delighting in the Lord leads you to get the desires of your heart. Now I want to look at one more tonight. And this one is that you can have God himself bring to pass the justice of the cause of your life. You have certain causes that are just, but God has to bring them to pass. I have had just causes. David said, "Is there not a cause?" And we have just causes. Why? Because we're walking with a just God. What's a just God? A just God punishes sin. Amen. A just God does what's right. And so we have just causes, and God himself will bring to pass the just causes in your life. That is another promise. But how does that happen? That happens by going after the prerequisite. But here's the promise. Here's what it says. Look at, first of all, verse 5, because this promise is in two places. Verse 5 says, trust also in him. And then the last part of verse 5 says, and he shall bring it to pass. God himself shall bring it to pass. Now, people get frustrated because they say, I had hoped it was going to happen that way. I was hoping it was going to be done that way. I've been disappointed. I've been let down. God has let me down. God has not let you down. People may let you down, or something you trusted in may have let you down, but God didn't let you down. In other words, Charlie Ware, our first pastor, he prayed, and God supplied his tuition for school all through school. And it would come always in a mailbox by a letter, and somebody would send it from different parts of the country. It was always somebody different. And one day he had one final payment left, and he went to the mailbox, and it got to the point I would go to the mailbox with him because we prayed and I wanted to see it, and there was nothing in the mailbox. And so he thought God let him down. But he went downstairs, and I followed him, and the man named Jim Hinkle said, "I want to see you, Charlie." And I went with Charlie. And Jim Hinkle was in the financial office there at Baptist Bible. And he said, "Charlie, I just want to tell you somebody paid your bill for the rest of the school year." And I learned a lesson there. We were trusting in the mailbox. And we got too much into the method. And so, you see, God is the one that brings it to pass. It is not QAnon. It is not praying medic. It is not even Donald Trump. It is not this person. My faith is in God. And I don't focus on the how and the when of God's promises that I'm praying for. I don't know the when. And I don't know the how or the methods God's going to use, but I do know the who and the what. You see, that is what you and I need to focus on, and you'll find out God will never let you down, the who and the what. He'll answer your prayer. He may do it later than you think, or he may do it in a different way than you think, but God will fulfill his promise. He will answer it. And this is the point. He shall, verse 5, he, God, shall bring it to pass. He brings his promises to pass. Now, it's the 20th day of January today. It's the inauguration of a fake president, in my humble opinion. And by the way, the Radcliffe, the DNI, came back with his report. By the way, we did get Radcliffe's report, and he said that Red China definitely got involved with our election. They accused President Trump of colluding with Russia. They colluded with Red China, you see. And everything they accused him of doing, they did. And so this has been proven. So January 20th today, and I looked on our scripture reading, and guess what I found out? I found out Psalm 20 was there. How many read Psalm 20 today? All right, I want to read it to you, just the first part of it. Here's what he says. This is Psalm 20. He says, "Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion." Where do you get your help? Where do you get your strength? From the sanctuary. What's the sanctuary? That's God's holy place. That's the Holy of Holies in heaven. And God sends help from the sanctuary. You say, "It didn't come through this person that I expected. It didn't come at this time I expected. The how was not what I expected. The when." Hey, he never said that he was going to send it through that. He said, "From the sanctuary." The last child, check that out. That's the heavenly sanctuary. And so that's what this psalm says. Send thee help from the sanctuary. And where do you get your strength? I know I get my strength from God. Amen. I get my strength from his promises. I get my strength from his person. And the last I checked out, God Almighty is dwelling in the third heaven, in his holy sanctuary. God is in his heaven doing whatsoever he pleases, and at his right hand is his Son. And my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And I get it as I need it, and it comes from his sanctuary. I don't know where yours is coming from, but I hope it's coming from the right place. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? God is the help of my countenance. God is my God. Hope thou in God. Hope thou in God. And that was the psalm for today. And then he said this, "Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice." Selah. You say, what's Selah mean? It means you better think about this. God has accepted your offerings, church. God has heard your prayers on this 20th day of January 2021. I'm not calling for a day of prayer and fasting Sunday night to Monday. God's heard you. He got it. He got the memo. Selah. Stop and think about that. You say, well, it didn't work out the way I thought. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. But I'm saying tonight, Psalm 20, today's psalm, he says, Selah. You stop and think about it. I remember, and I commend you for your prayers. I commend you for fasting. I commend you for your tears. I commend you for your groaning and continuing and staying faithful right up to the end. Every time the man of God called for prayer, you were there. You were there. You were there. And God says, I remember that. And I'm sending you help from the sanctuary. I don't know how he's going to do it, but I know he's going to send help. And he's accepted it, and it's entered into his mind and heart in the heavenly sanctuary. Do you believe that tonight? I do. He says, grant thee according to thine own heart, and fulfill all thy counsel. Do you think God cares about the desires of your heart? I do. He notices your groaning. He notices your prayers. He cares. Don't get discouraged with him, because the desires of your heart are granted when you praise him, when you delight in him, when you walk with him. So stay with God for the fulfillment of the desire of your heart. Hope deferred, I know, maketh the heart sick, but the desire granted is a tree of life. Your faith is not in vain. Your prayers are not in vain. That morn shall tearless be. God is saying it. You have been doing his will. You've been delighting in it. Then you can expect God to fulfill your petitions. Where's that? Well, it says in Psalm 20, verse 4, the Lord grants you your petitions. If we ask anything to his, according to his will, we know that he hears us. And if he hears us, what did 1 John say? We know we have the petitions that we are desired of him. Lift up your face. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Look like you're saved. Look like Stephen, who had the face of an angel. Praise the Lord. I had some people text me, I know you're having a hard day, Dad. One of my kids said, I said, well, I thank you for your prayers, but I'm not having a hard day. I'm rejoicing in the Lord. I told her why. I had another one. What do you think about what's going on? I wrote about a half a page epistle. You see, I'm just telling you, I've been around a while, and I know how it goes. I like Brother Sarge. He called me up, and Brother Sarge says, I just got a peace in my heart. I got a peace. I said, I got the same peace. We must have the same Jesus, the same Holy Spirit. I said, I got a peace in my heart, too. I'm not making light of the situation. I'm not making light of the trouble. I'm not making light of the danger. No, I'm not at all. But what does the Bible say? Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Don't fret because of him that prospers in his way. Focus on God. Delight in God. Trust in God. And, you know, he's going to bring it to pass. And that's what we're emphasizing here, that God is going to be the one, beloved, that's going to bring it to pass. Now, let's read the rest of that promise. Not only does it say that the Lord is going to bring it to pass, verse 5, but notice what it says in verse number 6. It says, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Now, what does that mean? And this is what the promise is all about. There are times when you and I've had this in my Christian experience more than once, you and I trust the Lord and there's clouds all around us. And even our cause is clouded so that people doubt us. And our cause becomes darkened. And we're following God. We're doing justly. What does the Bible say? What is it required of you that you love mercy, that you do justly? You love mercy, walk humbly with your God. You're doing justly, but your cause, listen to me, is clouded from people. People doubt it. They look upon it as being bad. Look what's happened to our president. Has he had a just cause? Absolutely. But it's all clouded. By what? Fraud and lies and coup for 4 years and all this schmutz. And you got these scribes and these Pharisees and these hypocrites that are squatting down, squatting on the chair of the presidency of the United States. God sees when you're doing justly. Have you ever been there? I've been there. I've been doing justly, following God, and now my cause is clouded. People around you, they wonder what's happening. They may count you out and you're in darkness and all the rest. And there are times when you're there. And here's been a precious promise to me when I go through the times. Not only Psalm 37, verse 6, that he'll bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. He'll bring it out and make it clear. You've been doing the right thing. You've been following the right cause. God Almighty's going to make it clear. But here's what it says in Isaiah. Chapter 50, he says, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant?" Last I checked out, the servant of the Lord God is Jesus. Amen. And if he's your Savior, you obey his voice. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. I believe if you're one of his sheep tonight, teenager, you're following him to church, or you're following him to the Christian school, or you're following him to read your Bible. You're following the Lord, and the Lord sees it. And who of you are doing that? He says, but notice this, that obeyeth his voice, but that walketh where? In darkness. You're in darkness. You've been following the light of the world, but you're in darkness and hath no light. What does he say to do? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. And that's where I am tonight. We've been following the Lord. We followed him to Washington, D.C. Now they're saying, if you went to Washington, D.C., we should trace your cell phone. Because you know what that is? That's just communism, Marxism. It's contrary to the Constitution. Freedom of speech. No wonder people came from Red China over here, and they came to the Trump rally, and they said, we came to get away from this. And now Xi Jinping is bringing it right here by paying off Biden, who's a satellite of Xi Jinping, and that's what Biden is. Yep. But you know what? He says, you're following the Lord, but you're walking in darkness. And you have no light. Trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon your God. And it says there, as you do that, and notice this, I love this, behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled, this shall be of mine hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. Listen, don't come up with your own inventions to bring to pass the justice of your cause. Wait on the Lord. Trust the Lord. And he'll give you the light. You're in darkness now. You can't bring yourself out into the light. You can't bring the cause out into the light that God has led you to stand for. But guess what? That doesn't mean God can't do it. That doesn't mean God won't do it. And I've seen it many, many, many times in my life. People may mock. knock at you when you're in the darkness and put you down now, but God says that he'll make it as clear as day that you've been doing right. And in fact, in Psalm 37, verse 6, he says, "And he, God, shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday." We haven't seen the judgment brought to pass yet, but God says, "I will do it." And so let's not forget, in closing, there is a prerequisite to this promise, okay? What's the promise? It says that he's going to bring to pass your just cause. But what is the prerequisite to that promise? Let's look at it in closing. It says here in verse 5, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Now, I want to take a good example of this. Abram. His name means father. And his whole thing was he was promised a seed that was going to inherit the promised land. He left the Ur of the Chaldees, traveled 600 miles on the bare promise alone. And now he's just gone out and he's rescued Lot from backsliding and carnality and rescued Lot. He brings him back and everything like that. And then all this money that he got, he gave it all to the king of Sodom. He said, "You take it. I don't want a thing except the men that went with me. They can have their portion, but I don't want a thing, lest it be said that the king of Sodom made me rich. I don't want to deal with you, you scumbag." And so he's like you and I. He launched out in faith, and what happened? He started getting worried, and he goes to God. And here's what Abram said after he'd taken these great steps of faith, leaving the Ur of Chaldees, fighting against the enemies of his nephew. He says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, 'Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward.'" You know why he had to tell Abram, "Don't be afraid"? Because Abram gave away all that stuff to the king of Sodom, and now the devil was working on him saying, "Man, you've lost everything. You're not going to have anything, Abram." And God said, "Don't be afraid, Abram. I can read your mind. Don't be afraid." By the way, that's what God's telling you tonight. Fear not. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the servant of mine house is this Eliezer of Damascus?" Now, what is he saying there? He's saying, "Look, you promised me a child. My wife is barren. I can't have a child." This is before she came up with a bright idea how to do it. Now, he's got a bright idea. You know what his bright idea is? It was the custom of the day, if a couple didn't have a baby, a person born in their household, and in this case, the manager for his household, Eliezer of Damascus, he would inherit everything that Abraham had. But the only promise was, God said, "No, that's not how I'm going to do it, Abe. Abe, that's not how I'm going to do it. It's going to come from your own bowels. It's going to come from your loins, Abe. It's going to be your seed. That's how I'm going to do it." And he's like, "Whoa." And then God said, "Come on out here. Go on out here. You got nothing. You got nothing. Go out here and look at the stars." And he looked at the stars and he said, "That's how your seed is going to be." He's talking about his physical seed that inherited the promise. He's also talking about his spiritual seed. That's how you're Abraham. Abraham, is he a great man? Didn't God make his name great? Wow, he said, "I'm going to do that." He changed his name later on to Abraham, which means father of many. Not just father, but hey, for good measure, I'm going to call you Abraham. Hey, when God does something, he does it right. When Moses tried to kill the Egyptian and hide him in the sand, he killed one Egyptian. He wound up running away. But when God did it, he killed the whole Egyptian army. Pharaoh hid him in the sand under the Red Sea. When God brings forth your righteousness, he does it. But you got to put it in his hands. You got to put it in his hands. No prayer meeting Sunday night. He's heard it. Selah. Put it in his hands. In his hands tonight. He doesn't mess around. I wouldn't want to be in the sneakers of anybody that stands in the way of the armies of the living God. I don't care about the when, and I don't care about the what. I care about the what. I don't care about the when and the how. That's up to God. I care about the what and the who. And this is what he says. I will bring forth, and I trust him with that matter. He's not failed, me or us. And the Bible said Abraham responded in faith, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And God was now telling you that's how you get saved. You get saved by looking away from yourself to God, amen? And you look to God's provision. The one that died, was buried, rose again, the seed of Abraham, Jesus Christ. It's a gift of God. You get saved through faith in Christ. And your faith in Christ is in your heart. You trust him. It's simple. But that's how you walk with God, too. And so tonight he says, the prerequisite is this, that you need to commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. And he, we repeat that, and he shall bring it to pass. Not Praying Medic, not Patriot websites, not Donald Trump or his cabinet. God Almighty! He's the one. He's the one. And I just thought on this 20th, of January, I would share what God has to say about these things. Take it to heart. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed.